We head out on the hotline, and it's the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Our good buddy Tim May, he visits with us every single week at this time from Letterman Row and right here on the Fan. Tim, we finally got a big game on campus, buddy. It's taken to the second to the last game of the regular season, but a big game on campus, my friend. What are your initial thoughts heading into this one tomorrow?
Well, my initial thought is, why does that commercial precede with me talking to me? But that's another story.
Always on brand.
Yo, what's that timing? What's the secret of our success? Timing.
That's right.
But I digress. Well, the Wisconsin game was pretty damn big, you know, at the time. Let's put it that way. You know, after Ohio State took care of business, everybody goes, well, who's Wisconsin, you know? Or as I like to say now, Ohio State owned Wisconsin. That's a little play on words there. But, this is interesting because as much as – in preseason, this looked like a huge game, and as much as 2 or 3 weeks ago, it looked like a huge game. The odds makers say Ohio State's an 18 or 19-point favorite. So, you know, I don't know if that kind of takes the edge off of it a little bit. I don't know if y'all agree or not from the standpoint of, okay, if it's such a great game, why is it so wide open? Well, I think what we're going to see now is the once again, Ohio State have to step up and prove that, in fact, it is as great as a lot of people are saying it is, and even the odds makers are on board now. So, but with that said, this is definitely the best team they've faced so far, in my opinion. I don't know if y'all agree or not.
We do.
Yeah, Tim, what do you make of, and Bo and I have been talking about it all the week, the fact that, you know, 16, 17, 18, these games have been so close. And they've been, you know, Penn State has been obviously a bigger scare to our overall success that Michigan has, going back to when I played. I mean, that's the only team I lost to in conference twice, right? 05 and an 08. You know, that's a place that they've recruited well, they've competed well. The line, I can understand why the line is the way it is, right? KJ Hamler, you don't know if he's healthy. If he is, what's a 5'10 receiver against our NFL star-studded secondary? I get all that. But does it surprise you at all? Those guys – you know, wearing those uniforms at Penn State, they have belief, don't they, against Ohio State? Yeah. I mean, the last few years they've had us on the ropes. Gosh, one different decision. You know, if they're able to hold on to the lead against JT, or they're able to win last year at their spot when they had the lead too. I mean, this whole narrative in the Big Ten could be way different. That has to scare you a little bit as a Buckeye fan, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when a team has it, they're for whatever reason, there have always been teams that match up well with each other, you know. I mean, and give you great games almost year in and year out. Now, a couple of these games have been blowouts Ohio State's way. Let's face it, you know, over the last 15 years. But the main thing is, Penn State has done a great job of replenishing its talent pool, you know, after its debacle, you know, the Jerry Sandusky affair. And losing Joe Paterno and stuff. But, I mean, James Franklin, no matter what people think of him as a tactical head coach, a tactician, I mean, he's done a great job. They've done a hell of a job recruiting. And, you know, Austin Ward from Letterman Row and I were talking about this the other day. And Jeremy Birmingham, you know him, he covers recruiting. And, you got to believe that they've done the second-best job in the Big Ten over the last 7 or 8 years recruiting-wise, which is from the standpoint of a stockpile of talent behind Ohio State, but I still put Ohio State ahead of them, and maybe squarely so. But the main thing that's happened the last several years, and Jeffrey Okuda talked about this the other day after practice, and a couple other guys did too, Ohio State's let them get off to good starts. I'm talking about Penn State, and Ohio State's almost always been playing from behind, you know, and the last several years, and that makes it tough on anybody, so especially when you're going against great talent. But I'll tell you what, the guy that I think Penn State, and I'm going to eat my words, the guy that I think Penn State is missing that was the difference maker the last several years is Trace McSorley. I think Sean Clifford's coming on and playing really well, but Trace McSorley was special in Big Ten play as a quarterback playmaker. And so I think that could be the difference this year. But like what you said, I mean, a play goes this way or that way, and suddenly it's a hell of a game.
Well, Tim, and to further that point, a player goes this way or that way. If they just hold on to Justin Fields in recruiting, and it's him starting in his second year at Penn State, coming in here, and we have Baldwin and Martell, and you know, who knows what it looks like at quarterback. I mean, that's
or if Micah Parsons doesn't go on the stage at game day or whatever a couple years ago, he's maybe playing for Ohio State instead of Penn State.
The quarterback's the real difference. Yeah. I mean, and if you think about Ohio State's dominance over the 20 years in the Big Ten here, the quarterback's been the difference. And it's not McSorley was a really nice player, but he wasn't.
Yes.
He was never like in a. You know the difference between him and Dwayne Haskins or Justin Fields. It's just a different level of player, and they haven't got that guy. And we do have those guys, and that tends to be the difference in these games.
You know what was unfortunate was them taking the ball out of McSorley's hands on that last play last year at Penn State when they gave the ball off to Miles Sanders and Chase Young looped in on that little stunt and nailed him for that loss on 4th and 5. I mean, I don't understand. You know, we might be talking differently about McSorley in this actual conversation if they'd let him do a little bit of a out-to-the-edge run-pass option kind of thing. But I digress. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I just thought McSorley was a hell of a ball player.
He is.
You know, he asked Urban Meyer about him. He liked him a lot. But you're right. I mean, who you get makes a hell of a difference. And Justin Fields picking Ohio State, decommitting from Penn State, picking Georgia and picking Ohio State. And, you know, he was going there because of Moorhead. You know, he's now the head coach at Mississippi State. The funny thing about it was, he was leaving the press conference the other day, so did you consider Mississippi State when you decided to leave Georgia? He goes, no.
No, I bet not.
You know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But yeah, no, you're right. It always comes down to decisions. You know, you win with people. I think Woody Hayes wrote a book about that.
Tim, what's the one matchup that either you're most excited to watch or that maybe concerns you when you talk about Ohio State, Penn State, when facing them? What's the one matchup?
Wait, you mean the one other matchup? Because, I mean, everybody is keen, eager to see Chase Young coming out of the bullpen or the whatever you want to call it.
Penalty box.
Penalty box. Yeah, I was trying to think of something that didn't have jail in it.
But
you're exactly
there,
right,
bro.
Penalty box. To see Chase Young coming out of the penalty box tomorrow, especially after the last time you saw him and what they did with him against Wisconsin, putting him all over the field, you know, almost up and down the piano keyboards, you know, making you have to deal with him in all kinds of situations. I expect to see maybe a similar approach tomorrow. But, you know, I've been banging this guy's drum all year, and I'm going to bang it again. It's kind of like a big drum at Purdue. I think Devon Hamilton's having a hell of a year, and so is Jayshon Cornell. And if those guys hold sway in the middle, I mean, you know, wow. I mean, you know, I think Ohio State could take care of business big time. I mean, I think an 18-point spread might be accurate. But, you know, offensively, without a doubt, there were a couple of times last week against Rutgers where Ohio State's offensive line got owned. That was only a couple of times, but one was on 4th and goal at the, you know, at the 1-yard line or 2-yard line, and they got stuffed. So, you know, they're kind of bouncing back a little bit pride-wise, although they did still own Rutgers. But I'm interested to see how that Ohio State deep offensive line plays against what a lot of people think is as good a defensive front as there is in the Big Ten. That includes, Wisconsin's and Michigan. So that's the matchup. It always comes down to it. But then, you know, we were talking about this on my podcast. While everybody thinks Chase Young could still be in the Heisman race, I really think the last three games of this regular season, in fact, Ohio State wins tomorrow and goes to the Big Ten championship game, are literally ideal, perfect showcase games for Justin Fields. Is he that special quarterback? Will he make the plays that need to be made like Dwayne Haskins Jr. did last year or JT Barrett did the 2 years before, you know, the year before that? That I think everybody's keen to watch how Justin Fields plays once again in a huge game. I thought he answered the bell extremely well against Wisconsin. This is another like opponent in another matchup sort of way, and I think that's a guy I think who is really eager to play tomorrow.
Well, Tim, and you're exactly right. And as you know, with the Heisman, you have to do two things. You have to accumulate statistics that are impressive, and then you have to have moments. And nobody's going to have an opportunity for more moments than Justin Fields, J.K. Dobbins, Chase Young. However, if any of them light it up the next 3 weeks and one shines, there's going to be somebody from the Midwest to sit there next to Joe Burrow. It's got to be somebody. It's going to be somebody on our team. Yeah. So one of them's going to have an opportunity to be the guy.
Somebody in Joe Burrow's supporting cast, you're exactly right. Don't you? I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, like I said this on your show last week, a couple weeks ago, if Joe Burrow beat Alabama, you know, it's going to be his to lose. I don't know if you agree or not at this point.
I don't know Tim, I don't think that there's anything he can do barring, like, losing the next 2 weeks to lose it. He's completing 80% of his passes, for God's sake.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of Eddie George in 95. You know, I mean, he had those great games against Wisconsin, against Notre Dame, and Illinois. And, And the Heisman voters pretty much forgot that Ohio State lost to Michigan that year, you know. And I don't think he had 100 yards in that game or was right at it. So, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's going to take a lot to get him off the top of that mountain now, Joe Burrow. But
a lot like Cam Newton, too, where you kind of shot out of a cannon. Yeah,
exactly. But delivered in huge, yeah, spectacular ways.
And he's just like Cam.
The great thing Burrow's had going for him is he's had to play almost four. He's had to play four quarters almost every game because of their defense.
So, that's true.
He's gotten to accumulate. And Justin, yep, Fields, you know, hadn't had that luxury. Neither has J.K. Dobbins. But I think the next 3 weeks could be a different tune.
I agree. Always good talking to you, my friend. Enjoy the big game on campus. I know you love it as much as we do.
I got it. Hey, give me the 800 number again for that commercial, though. I got to write that. Forgot to write that.
I'll text it. I'll get you the text. I'll text you that.